hope people got my message.
We didn't.
Or they waited. The cell phone was down all over India. When I called, I couldn't get on there, and they said it would be back at 8. So I had to run to a phone booth. Okay. Ritananda?
Yes, Maharaj.
You're still there?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj.
Did anybody get my message? Did I be late?
I don't think so, Maharaj.
I sent it 10 minutes ago. How many people are on?
Give me a minute.
Okay, just to see if everybody's still on.
Maharaj, there are 23 people.
Okay, some may have become... what happened? People were just waiting? Did you say to wait, or...?
Yeah, we waited for a while, and one Mataji did kirtan.
Okay. Okay, good. That's that. Thank you so much. I just got to set myself up. The phone booth is not like my desk, but I could tell you, okay, if I can get set up here, I'll be okay. I'm in the phone booth, Bihari Lal across from the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So I'll just go right into the class. You already had kirtan, and thank everyone for waiting, and, okay, I'm just catching my breath, because it was at least a 7-minute walk. Okay, some other people are coming on now. Okay, so greetings from Vrindavan. What is that now? The obstacle today. Okay, someone got on. Great. So let me get the verse. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, this is Rasa. It's Vrindavan. There are obstacles to increase our determination and attachment. So test our patience. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20. I'm going to find there. Usually I'm set up. Chapter 23. Text 20 and 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ashidyamana Patibir Ratribir Bandubi Shutai Bhagavat Uttama Shloke Dirga Shruta Dritashaya Jamano Pavane Shoka Nava Pallava Mandate Vicharantam Vritam Gopai Sagrajam Dadrashu Striya. Although their husbands, brothers, sons, and other relatives try to forbid them from going. I don't know if everybody could hear the kirtan. Can you hear that? That's Prabhupada's Samadhi Artik going on right across the street, and they have a procession that goes on. So it's nice to hear that. Although the husbands, brothers, sons, and other relatives try to forbid them from going, their hope of seeing Krishna, cultivated by extensive hearing of his transcendental qualities, won out. Along the river Jamuna, within a garden decorated with buds of Ashok trees, they caught sight of him, strolling along in the company of the cowherd boys and his elder brother Balaram. Before I get onto this, just a little realization. How we were mentioning at the very beginning of this story, the cowherd boys didn't ask Krishna if they were hungry. They said, "We are hungry," because they knew Krishna's supreme culture, not only material culture, but the culture of rasa and love, that people want to give. They don't want to get. So even if someone's hungry, the cultured person doesn't like to ask for himself. And the supreme culture of most etiquette is how to exchange relation, how to evoke love by the proper types of exchanges and dealings. And we understand that original culture is rasa. The original culture is the Bhagavatam. And one who actually knows deeply the rasa of the spiritual world, he'll also know how to extract love in relationships among devotees. In this world, how to extract the mercy of the senior Vaishnavas, how to invoke the respect of the junior Vaishnavas, how to invoke the intimacy of loving exchanges with those that are equal. So, outside my place, I live in Radharaman Bagicha, and when I saw that this phone glitch would cause an obstacle, I ran out the door, down the alley, onto the Prikram Mark. And by that Prikram Mark, most of you know, all over Vrindavan is painted Radhe Radhe in very, very beautiful sign letters, Sanskrit, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. Now, there's a beautiful sadhu who does that. I mean, really, because there's a lot of sadhus in India who come just because they're homeless or they don't want to work. Actually, the majority are like that. And in fact, even one Indian I knew, a cultured Indian, he once said to me, "What's the difference between a sadhu and a hippie?" He said, "Well, the sadhu takes bath." Because generally, you could see, but this particular sadhu, you could see a real sadhu. He's still very simple, but he's very... very fine and humble, aristocratic, clean and simple, and he does this painting. And whenever I see him, because I'm so appreciative of his service that he puts Radhe, Radhe, Radhe all over Vrindavan, whenever I see him, I give him 100 rupees. You know, because I consider it fortunate to see such a nice servant. And actually, one time, a long time ago, we actually wanted to do an article on him for BTG, and when he asked him, he said no. He said, "No, I'm not in this for name and fame." And his, he told me his guru gave him the order just to glorify Radharani, so he does it by putting Radharani's name all over Vrindavan, on every tree. He's prolific. He's prolific. So whenever I give him, he refuses. He refuses just the Vaishnav culture. You don't want to get, you want to give. And even though it's for his service, so after I push for some while, I have to put it in on his charter or put it in his bag, then he'll accept. So we see that the sadhus follow the Vaishnav culture, and therefore they know how to always keep the heart in a loving mood just by the culture. They're aspiring for that love.
Pribo Maharaj?
Are people hearing me?
Yes, Maharaj, you went out for a while.
How long did it go off?
Maybe about 10 seconds.
Oh, okay, that's not bad. So I don't know what they missed, but anyway, this verse is describing that finally, the wives of the Brahmins, they caught sight of Krishna. Along the river Jamuna, within a garden decorated with buds of Ashok trees. A very nice verse. Ashoka Vriksha Vala Rivatana Manda Pastate Pravala Vala Palava Prabharunangri Komale Rabbayaspurat Kare Prabhuta Sampadalaye Kadakarisyasi Hamam Kripakatakshabhajanam. A garden of the Ashok trees. They caught him strolling in the company of the cowherd boys and his elder brother Balaram. Now, I want to get into this philosophically, but one other thing that I came spontaneously when doing these classes is that definition of SMARN is the minute investigation of the mind, and how the goal is to think of Krishna. We want to think eventually of Krishna in detail as we become qualified. And I had like almost like a test for myself to think of my Krishna. And I can see by hearing the Bhagavatam how there are so many more details in my Krishna. Before actually even beginning these classes, you said Krishna. It's vague, but now there's so many details because Krishna is with his associates, Krishna is in a particular environment, Krishna has a particular mood. So as we're saying this and you hear Krishna, you should actually test yourself very humbly along the Jamuna. When you say Jamuna, what do you think of? Do you see very crystal clear water? Do you see lotus flowers and buzzing bees and the beautiful white swans? The last time I was with Tamal Krishnamurti in Oxford, we were walking along the Thames, and the swans, they are so beautiful. They're the personal property of the queen. I say, yes, those are the swans in Vrindavan. So along the river Jamuna with a garden. What does that garden look like in Vrindavan? What are the flowers in that garden? And it's decorated with the buds of Ashok trees. They caught sight of him strolling along in the company of the cowherd boys and his elder brother Balaram. And also when you hear these verses, as you remember, the cowherd boys are the ones that came. How we should understand a verse in context: the cowherd boys finally came with the message for the wives of the Brahmins that Krishna, we have been sent here by Krishna, and he's not very far from here. And then they faint, and then they have to give more details that he's hungry, and so please give him his food. And then the wives of the Brahmins, they had such eagerness to see Krishna their whole life. They had such eagerness to see Krishna from hearing those descriptions that when their desire was finally fulfilled and they said that Krishna is nearby, they fainted because their minds had been enchanted by hearing so many wonderful descriptions of Krishna. And they were in such a mood that when they woke up and the cowherd boys were saying, wake up, Krishna is hungry, and they wake up and they realize that their ecstasy had interfered with their service. And then immediately, without a thought, they immediately ran to do their service. It's just like when Krishna blew the flute and the gopis heard that flute, and I described before that the flute carries the love of Krishna in a particular way for each devotee, as if the sound of the flute is a personal melody calling the devotee from Krishna's heart. And when the gopis heard the flute, they had such deep attachment for Krishna when they heard Krishna's flute that, you know, this was a big decision, leaving their family, leaving their children, running out of the kitchen when the food is right in the middle of cooking. But you can understand what their love for Krishna was. This was such a big decision in their life. And I mentioned before in the previous class, the thing I read in Hitopadesh, that our decisions now determine our future, our fate. Whatever we decide now determines our fate. So a cultured person, intelligent person, when he has a big decision with so many consequences, he thinks about it deeply. He consults with others. He knows this will affect his future. But what happens when the gopis heard the flute? He didn't consult anyone. Their attachment was so strong for Krishna that immediately they left to see Krishna. And immediately they took these large vessels with different kinds of foodstuffs, with fine taste and aroma, and they went forward, and it's described just as the river is flowing to the sea spontaneously. There's no obstacle in devotion because there is no motive for it. The only motive to devotion is love. So how do you stop love? You can't stop love because there's no motive and there's no cause. So how can you stop something that has no cause? And not only that, this prema bhakti, when it flows, the love and the flowing of the love increases more and more. So now here, they finally see Krishna. And they have the same reaction as the gopis. In fact, this story, even some of the verses parallel the gopis, because this is actually the mood of amorous love for Krishna. And in one sense, it's also parakeya, because they're married, and parakeya means with their husbands. Means that they're married. So although, listen to this, Krishna, their husbands, brothers, other relatives, their sons. Imagine that. Their mothers, their sons. Everyone is saying, don't go. Don't go to Krishna. But what happened? Their hope of seeing Krishna, their asaya, their expectations, their desire to see Krishna, and how did they get that desire to hear Krishna? Uttama shloka dirga shruta dvita, acquired shruta because of hearing dirga for a long time. Bhagavati uttama shloka. Because of extensive hearing of Krishna's transcendental qualities, their hope of seeing Krishna defeated their husbands, their brothers, their sons' hope and desire that they don't go. And this is typical in our lives. There's a desire for Krishna, and there's a desire against Krishna. But with us, those desires are within our heart. There's a desire for the service of Prabhupada. There's a desire to dedicate ourselves to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a desire to no, you have to get out of here now because I'm on the phone. But, no, later. It happens to be the office of the guy who's there, and he's in here disturbing me now. Excuse me. So then that hope, sorry about that, but sometimes in India, your hope for speaking about Krishna has to win out against obstacles. But so it's in our own heart. We have our hope of seeing Krishna. Do we want to go back to Godhead? Do we want to please Srila Prabhupada? So that hope is in our heart, but there's other hopes. And how does the hope of seeing Krishna win out? It has to be intensified by hearing of his transcendental qualities, as the wives of the Brahmins have done. And we can also imagine, I'm imagining my own reaction. What if I saw Krishna right now? With my present frame of reference, with my present heart, with my present desires, I doubt I would actually see Krishna. Naham pakasya sar, he's not manifest to the unintelligent. But I'm wondering, what would happen? Would I think, oh, well, who is this person trying to be like Krishna? Who is he? What is this ego? Who is he? So here we see how strong their desire became. And now they finally caught sight of him. Now this next verse is really, it's one of the three verses in the Bhagavatam that are often quoted for exquisite descriptions of Krishna. There's one by Lord Brahma's vision. There's one by what the wives of the Brahmins saw. And then the topmost vision, Baharpidam Natavarabha Pukarniyo Karni Karyam, is the vision of the gopis in the Venu Peak. So this is what they saw. This is what they saw by that strong desire. how they see Krishna, and this is what they see. Shaimam haranya paritim vanamalya baha natu pravala natavesha manuvratam se vinyasta hasta mitarena dunanam abjam kart note palala kapola mukabjahasam. His complexion was dark blue, so you can meditate, and his garment was golden. He's wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds. What type of flower buds you can imagine if you know the Vrindavan flowers. And a garland of forest flowers and leaves, usually called the Vaijayanti Mala, hangs down to his knees and has five different, it's Vanamalya. It hangs down to his knees. He rested one hand about the shoulder of his friend. So this is actually even a more intimate description than Lord Brahma, because the ability to see Krishna is due to the intimacy of our love. And the wives of the Brahmins have a more intimate love, so in their vision that will manifest in the Bhagavatam, there'll be just a little bit more intimacy. Although it was very wonderful, Lord Brahma saw Krishna sitting there with the food in his mouth, but now he sees Krishna in relationship. Krishna is relaxed, waiting for the wives of the Brahmins, and he rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend, and in the other hand, he was twirling a lotus. Lila Kamala. It's a pastime lotus. And as he's twirling the lotus, and you can imagine that the wives of the Brahmins, I was just thinking of this point myself. Think of an attachment that you have for a person or a place, and then imagine you will never see that person or place again. Doesn't your attachment increase? So you can see how the mood of separation increases the flow of love, the flow of attachment. So now see, after separation, where they never even had any hope of seeing Krishna because they were the wives of the Brahmins. Krishna perceived them, desiring to please them, knowing that they're suffering in lamentation. And we'll see here that Krishna's Akila Drishtadra, his vision is that he actually sees the hearts of the devotees. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should understand that Krishna's hearing, and he's getting pleasure from it if he sees in our heart that we are chanting with the intention to please him. He actually can observe the hearts of all his devotees. So the devotees are, the wives of the Brahmins finally come and they see this beautiful Krishna. And we should envision what this Krishna looks like. He's resting one hand on the shoulder of a friend, and he's twirling this lotus. And when he's twirling this lotus, he's communicating his heart. And then he's saying to them, just by granting such a sight to you, he's looking at them, and he sees their heart, that they have this great expectation, this great desire. Now there's jubilation, they're actually seeing Krishna. There's emotions that are churning this affection to Krishna to the height of rasa. Rasa means love when it comes to the point where Krishna, the connoisseur of love, can appreciate it. And he's looking and he's reading their minds and he's twirling this lotus and he's saying, just by granting such a sight to you who are possessor of transcendental loving sentiments, I have seized you within my hand. I have seized within my hand your lotus heart, and I'm eagerly twirling your heart. and they're watching that lotus, and they're seeing that it's corresponding so obviously to the sentiments in their heart. And Krishna is saying, I have my heart, your lotus heart, in my hand, and therefore I'm churning it. But then Krishna, seeing the love of his devotees, becomes so overwhelmed that then all of a sudden they realize that what he's also saying is, while seeing you and seeing your love, my heart is twirling about out of eagerness. And on the pretext of twirling this lotus, I'm revealing this to you, that this is my heart. I am just overwhelmed by your devotional sentiments. And then the description goes further. Pala, alakakapola, buka abja hasam. And lilies graced his ears. The flowers are hanging out. There's different flowers that Krishna likes to wear in his ear, but one of them is this called this carnio flower. Carnio flower. That beautiful in our Govardhan place in the garden. It has all the indigenous flowers of Vrindavan. And it's like a yellow tulip, but it's more or less shaped like a small 3-inch horn. I can't describe it. It's like a funnel, and a beautiful yellow, and they come in white, and they come in blue. And Krishna especially likes to wear the blue ones, but this is a lily that he's wearing in his ear, and because he's wearing it in his ear, his hair hung down over his cheeks. So his hair is hanging over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling because he's so happy to see the devotee's love that his smiling, it extends the ends of the forehead. He's smiling so brightly. It's practically to the ends of his forehead out of happiness of seeing the devotees who love him, because what is happiness? It's love. And love comes from the heart in response to those who love you. So this is such a wonderful, wonderful sight. And therefore, Krishna says to his devotees, and this is also a very, very wonderful verse. He says, Praya Shruta Pratyamodaya Karnapurai Yasminna Magna Manasastamatakshirandrai Antapravesha Sucharam Arirabhyatapam Pragyam yata bimatayo vijahur narendra. So he said, O ruler of men, this is described by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Cricket. For a long time, those Brahmin ladies had heard about Krishna. A long time. Their beloved. And his glories had become Karnapurai. His glories had become the constant ornament of their ears. That's very nice. Karnapurai, that almost like the ears are not noticed, not very special, but when you have beautiful, someone has beautiful earrings, and the earrings beautify the ear, and they draw attention to the ear, and in a decorative or beautiful way, they give purpose to the ear. So similarly, these glories of Krishna became the Karnapurai, the constant ornament of their ears. Indeed, their mind, the Magna Manasa, was submerged, absorbed in him. Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. In the first verse of the Shikshastakam, Cheto Tarpanam Marjanam, Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. These are called the seven treasures of the holy name, Cheto Tarpanam Marjanam, Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, Shreya Kairaiva Chandra. vidyavadam jivanam. It's the wife, it's the life of transcendental knowledge, just like a new bride gives encouragement and life to the new husband. In the same way, vidyavadu, it's the wife of transcendental, it gives life to not, chanting the holy name gives life to the knowledge in your heart. Vidyavadu jivanam. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam ritasvadhanam. And it's at the stage of prema, pratipadam punam ritasvadhanam. At every step it gives ecstasy, and one at that stage, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, at every syllable the ecstasy is increasing step by step. And at the highest platform of love, sarvatma sthapanam, the whole being just becomes bathed or immersed in the holy name, in association with Krishna. It means all the senses become completely, this is the stage of prema, completely bathed, immersed. So their minds were completely immersed and absorbed in him. And through the apertures of their eyes, they now forced him to enter within their heart, and they embraced him for a long time. Finally, they see him in that sight, and they take it in their heart. In this way, they finally gave up the pain of separation for him. So there is the separation increasing the love, and then after the separation, they're meeting Krishna, and that's increasing the love. And their mood, it says, in this way they finally gave, just as sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing the inner consciousness. Mahamuni, are you there today? No, maybe he's not. Can you hear me, Amritananda?
Yes,
Maharaj. Okay,
yes,
sometimes I don't know. I want that. It was a technical question because it said the functions of false ego are given up pragyam when there is inner consciousness.
Maharaj?
The function. Haribo?
I'm sorry, I had my phone on mute.
What's that? Okay.
It's not Mahamuni.
What do you think this is? It describes to you yoga. Wait, if not, you could write me or something. That the functions of the false ego are given up when pragyam, when one embraces the innermost consciousness. Anyway, it must be the interesting, just the conception, like the pain of separation is considered the anxiety of false ego. The anxiety of false ego is given up when one embraces the pure consciousness of the soul, the chitta. I would say it's the chitta. When you come to the chitta, there's eight material elements, but there's a ninth which is called the chitta. And it's described, chitta vritti, when you free yourself from material desires by chanting the holy name, the chitta becomes like a clean glass. And behind that glass, you can actually perceive your spiritual identity, and you can actually see Krishna. So in the same way, the functions of the false ego, which are giving one anxiety, it's actually the source of anxiety. Because the false conception of the self, the desire to be the enjoyer and controller, puts one in the bodily concept, and all inebrities are happening on the platform of the vikara, or the transformation of matter. It's like someone who is sleeping, and when he's sleeping, he's dreaming that he's ill, he's dreaming that he's sick, so it's this identification. So all this anxiety of identifying with the body and being threatened with non-existence, it's given up. So their anxiety is given up their anxiety is given up when they embrace Krishna within their heart. And I'll just do quickly one more verse, because I don't want this to go over the time, but it said, Lord Krishna, who witnesses the thoughts of all creatures, understood how those ladies had abandoned all worldly hopes and came there simply to see him. Thus he addressed them as follows, with a smile upon his face. Lord Krishna is Akila Drikrasta. He understands Atma Didikshaya. He saw, what did he see? Chaktasarva Asa. That they had given up all other desires. He can actually perceive that. And that they gave up everything else just to see him. And then we'll see how Krishna reciprocates. So, usually I have this time system. What time is it there now?
Almost 10 o'clock.
Almost 10 o'clock. Well, okay. Somehow, maybe a little bit. Just one other point I'll present, and then we'll end for today, because this was a little bit different than the other days where I'm sitting at my desk. But I think such an important point here that's actually being presented is see the response, the response of the wives of the Brahmins, and see how two things happen. It's exactly the same. Krishna presents his desire to the Brahmins, and Krishna presents his desire to the wives of the Brahmins. And on a technical sense, maybe the Brahmins seem to be more qualified. So karma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharada. They have no mantra, they know tantra. They have rules of cleanliness, etc. And then we have these wives of the Brahmins. And the request, we have to see the difference in consciousness. The request comes from Krishna. And we see that the Brahmins not only have to be told, they have to be told that basically the cowherd boys are begging from them, they're pleading with them, we have the desire of Krishna. And what is their response? They completely ignore the cowherd boys, excuse me. They don't even say om. They don't even say om. And they also say that Krishna is nearby. There's no response. When it comes to the wives of the Brahmins, when that same request is made, not only do the cowherd boys are told not to beg, they're told you don't even have to ask them. You don't have to even ask them, because their intelligence is in me. They have completely given their heart to me. So the whole theme here is that Krishna gives mercy. He reciprocates to those who have bhakti. Not birth, even that birth, opulence, not aristocracy, not even austerity. That famous verse of Queen Kunti, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shrivir, Eda Mana Madapunam, Naiva Hantyapi Daitu Vatwama Kinshina Gotra. That one who becomes intoxicated with birth, Janma, Aishvar, opulence, Shruta, education, Shrivir, aristocracy, one who becomes intoxicated with these things, then he cannot actually, in his heart, actually ask Krishna. Form a kinchana gotra, but one who actually feels need. When you feel actual need, then you can actually ask, and therefore you get the mercy. anyway, this was a little bit of a more difficult class, but this is not the, I'm not in the ideal setting, but he said something for today, and in the next class we'll actually see Swagatam Mahabhagavat, that Krishna will, how he responds to them.